This is Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston, and you're listening to Being Catholic right here on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 FM and 92.5 FM in good old McLean County in Bloomington Normal, 88.3 in Pontiac, 97.1 in Lincoln, covering most of Central Illinois. Remember, we're brought to you by you, and so we depend on your donations to keep our radio station going. And if you'd like to make a donation, you can do that at CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Again, that's CatholicSpiritRadio.com. We would appreciate any help that you may be able to give us, and any donation, big and small, would be helpful. So again, go to that website. Also, you can call us at 309-807-2427. Again, that's 309-807-2427. We're going to have a great show for you today. Our country seems to be in a lot of turmoil and trouble, especially with the trial that's going on with the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to ask some questions. I mean, are we a country that seems adrift and without leadership? And are American principles becoming vague and scattered? Do we have an idea of what we the people means anymore, or a government of the people, or a government for the people? Do we have any idea of what we mean by equality, or all men are equal? Does that mean everyone should be interchangeable and have equal outcomes, and just exactly what happens to be going on in our country? So we're going to talk about those things today. I'm here with my wife, Lynn, today, and we were gone last week, so it's good to be back. I'm going to ask Lynn if she would like to make some comments before we start the show, and then we'll start. So I'll turn this over to Lynn.
Hello, everybody. Sure do like this weather. I know a lot of people don't. But getting ready for the holiday seasons coming up here. We've got these snow flurries and, you know, no accumulation or ice. That's good. But I do like the cooler weather. I can breathe better, and I just like it. More energy. Pretty soon it's going to be Thanksgiving. And right after Thanksgiving, we start Advent and preparing for Christmas. So not got too long to go. We're going to be in Advent. We need to think about what are you going to do to prepare yourself to receive the Christ child in his coming. And then after the Christmas season goes on until the baptism of Christ in January. So, you know, we forget there's 12 days of Christmas that was always celebrated. Now it's kind of like one day, it's bang, it's over with. But it's really not set up that way.
Boy, the year goes by so fast, doesn't it? It just seems like it seems like yesterday almost that we were here with Carl Winning and did that show with Carl Winning on the Christmas Star. And it just doesn't seem like it's been that long ago.
Yeah, it seems like 3-4 months maybe.
Exactly.
And here it is.
Maybe not even that long, it seems.
Right. So you got to get your winter coats out and finish your Christmas preparation. This year they're talking about short supplies. And I kind of taken that to heart. And I've started to make some Christmas presents, crocheting and stuff. Started to get that done early. So, hope everybody else is preparing. We need to get ourselves into the spirit and the mood, no matter what happens in this world and whatever the government wants or whatever. That's their thing. Like Jesus says, what belongs to Caesar, give to Caesar. I guess we have no other choice anyway, but we need to prepare for the coming of Christ and the joy that came to that. Try to capture some of that little bit of the innocence and the happiness you had as a child waiting for Christmas. So, Bob.
Well, that's good advice. I guess we're not going to do that today, but I had this planned for last week, of course, and again, we're set back a week. So we'll go ahead and do this. But especially, I think the Kyle Rittenhouse trial sort of bears on this, what I was going to talk about.
And, yeah, we watched that.
And well, go ahead and make, do you want to make some comments on that before we?
We watched it. Tried to get things done around the house in between, but I really was riveted to the TV. I can only give you my opinion of it. I don't think that the prosecutor was ready or should have prosecuted this case. It seems like a open shut case. This kid defended himself. And you can see on the pictures and everything else, he was defending himself. That's what the law says in Wisconsin. Yet, the judge is being threatened. I don't know how it's affecting the jury. I don't think they're sequestered. But I know when I was on a jury, you couldn't watch TV or read anything about what you were, about the trial and what was going on. But it's not a safe situation. They've even called up the National Guard for Kenosha. How do these people get off being able to go into a community, stir up trouble like they did last summer, and then all this happened? The police weren't able to go in and do much about it, if anything, because their civil government, the mayor and everybody else, wouldn't allow them to. And then this happens, and it's some kid's fault?
Well, that's what I was going to talk about, the fact that, that's what I want to mention about the trial, the fact this whole thing is sort of a tragedy that should never, ever have happened. And it seems to me that if anybody should be on trial in this situation, it should be the government of the city of Kenosha, the mayor and the city council and other people who failed to do their duty. And in other words, they held the police back. The police stood there while all of this rioting was going on and things were being burned down. And we have this going on all over our country and the police being held back. And we have our government, city officials and state and county officials that don't seem to know what they should do. And this is the topic I was going to talk about. I mean, our whole country is in confusion and it's split. And my question is a lot of that happening because we have a ruling class that doesn't seem to know, you know, what their agenda is. It doesn't seem to know, they don't seem to know what their duty is. They have put, it seems, politics, and they're getting elected and so forth ahead of the duty that they have, the what they got elected for. The good taxpayers of Kenosha, for example, and Portland and Seattle and Minneapolis and New York and other cities pay their taxes in order to have a police force and first responders that protect them and keep crime down and take care of them so they can feel safe in their homes and on their streets. And this wasn't done. And the people themselves, the business owners and others, had come out to try to defend their property as best they could and keep it from being destroyed by what was going on that night. And I think Mr. Rittenhouse, the young man, he seemed to be one of these people who was trying to be involved in civic things. I think he was a cadet fireman and interested in police work and those kinds of things, and probably went, he was very familiar with Kenosha. I guess his father, he comes from a divorced family just right across the state line from Wisconsin. So I think the city he lives in, Antioch, Illinois, is probably not more than 15 or 20 miles away from Kenosha. So he'd been familiar with it. And I think maybe went there trying to, in a way to do something, be a hero or whatever. You know, a young person might aspire to something like that and got himself in way over his head with a bit off way more, you know, than he could chew. But that's understandable. And this whole tragedy happened. But I would put the onus on the adults who were elected in that community to run the city and to do their duty and to take care of keeping the neighborhoods and so forth safe. And their primary purpose in that instance is not politics or to do what's going to get them elected or to be politically correct or to follow along with the so-called woke crowd or whatever it happens to be. And so that this whole thing happened because of that dereliction of duty. And that's one of the questions that we're going to address in this show is, do we have a ruling class? Now, we have this idea in America of our Constitution, and there's this, you know, especially Abraham Lincoln stressed this in the Gettysburg Address, a government, you know, of the people, for the people, you know, and rather a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But the question is that you still have to have leadership. I mean, every organization, every country is not just made up of an amorphous group of people with no particular goals and purposes. You have to have leadership, and that leadership has to be stable. And I think without the proper leadership, the people are unstable, and we have divisions in this country going on because we really do not have, for the most part, in our cities, in our states, and in our national government as well, the kind of leadership that we need. We don't have leaders who seem to know what the American agenda is, who don't seem to know, you know, what their values are, or their, I shouldn't even say values, the virtues that people should follow. There doesn't seem to be any dogma that the country agrees on. Our culture is disintegrating, and we seem to be going around in circles. And when that happens, I think you get aggression, you get violence, and you get a lot of the worst aspects of human nature coming to the fore. And a lot of that is what's going on. What do you think, Lynn?
When you don't have law, you have chaos. And this is exactly what's happening to us. We're going to have chaos more and more and more. If we don't have laws, don't enforce the laws that we do have, it turns to chaos. And if you look back over the history of civilization, that's what's happened before, over and over and over again. Man just doesn't seem to get an inkling of what's going on around him because he's too involved with himself. He's too self-centered. It's what I can get for me. Just me. The rest of you don't matter. That's what I think is going on. People are after power, and they like the prestige of being a mayor or councilman or whatever, head of a school board, you know, those things. Some people like those titles. And then when they got them, they abuse them.
Exactly. It's like, you know, the old saying that where much is given, much is also expected. And we give a lot to our leadership and a lot to our people in authority and power. And that's one of the things, it seems like we live in a time, sort of a therapeutic time, in which punishment is somehow or another considered violence. And there's this avoidance of authority, which is also seems to be considered violence by some people. And when you have no punishment, you have no law, and when you have authority that's equated with violence, and so you reject the authority, what you do is actually is get violence. You don't avoid it. And authority, of course, is not violence, and punishment, of course, is not violence either, in order to keep things stable. And we have to understand what punishment should and should not be meted out for. And for that, we have to have dogmatic things that we believe in. We have to have a culture that believes in certain dogmas and stands on those principles. We can't just have sort of like a vague idea that everyone is equal and some kind of vague idea that we're a government of the people without principles and leadership to fall back on. And I think, you know, when we talk along here further as we go along, that's where the church comes in. And people might be out there wondering, well, what has this got to do with Catholicism? It has a lot to do with it. And it's the dogmas especially and principles of the Catholic Church as laid down 2,000 years ago and followed to this day that are necessary. And a lot of those dogmas and principles are in question as well in modern society. We've had a weakening of Christianity all the way from the very end of the 19th century into the first part of the 20th century over the last 100 years, and it has become very, very watered down today and diversified so much that I think it's not really playing its role in guiding. People have to have guidance, and that guidance has to come from something out and above them and not just opinions handed around from person to person and with the leadership that doesn't really know where they're going or what they're doing. We have this thing called progressivism, and the question you have to ask about it is to progress to where? And that's what, you know, we're talking about today. And talk about, you were talking about, Lynn, what's going on. Just take a look at, you know, our own city here in Chicago, not very far from Kenosha, really, and not very far from Antioch, where this young man lives. In the last 9 or 10 months, I think I was watching on television where they were giving the statistics. There have been 800 shootings in the last 10 months in Chicago, and there doesn't seem to be any.
Isn't it? 800 deaths?
800 deaths, right. 800 deaths in Chicago in the last 9 or 10 months, and there doesn't seem to be anybody doing anything about it. There are people at the University of Chicago, the students have to be given rides. They're offered rides to and from the university because students there are being shot, some of them mostly by accident and so forth, simply, you know, casualties in the line of fire, whatever, you know, the civilian casualties of the war that happens, that seems to be going on up there that nobody wants to stop. So those are some of the things we're going to talk about. We'll go ahead and stop here and take a break. And so stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston. You're listening to Being Catholic right here on Catholic Spirit Radio. We're back from our break, and we're talking about the issue, do we have a lack of leadership in this country? Do we have leadership that really doesn't know where it's progressing to, if it calls itself progressive? And have we lost the principles upon that are clear upon which any country has to depend in order to stay together? And does this lack of leadership filter down into the population and cause everybody to be unsure and confused and to be taking different sides against each other with no real agreement on what should be in our national, local, state, whatever policies? And that's what we're talking about. We were talking about the fact that about the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse and what happened up in Wisconsin. I'm thinking everybody's familiar with it. And the conclusion on our part, on Lynn's part and my part here, is that something like this should have never happened in the first place. ordinary citizens shouldn't have to be standing out in the streets trying to protect their property and acting as vigilantes in order to protect their city. That's not what they pay their taxes for. And for a whole police force to stand and watch property being destroyed and buildings being burned down and civilians engaging each other on one side and the other and nothing being done is a tragedy. And it's a shirking and a lack of duty. We're talking about in our own state here in Illinois, Chicago, having 800 deaths in the last 9 or 10 months in the University of Chicago campus being dangerous. I think of those deaths, about 3 or so were killed on campus, and others were, you know, in closely in the line of fire where there were some close calls. And so the University of Chicago is actually providing rides for students to go in and out of the university because of the, you know, the danger that the area they have to pass through as they get there. And what is the city reaction to that? The city reaction to that by the mayor and some of her cohorts was to, and it suggests that the problem was policing and that the campus police should be canceled. The idea was they wanted to cancel the campus police. You know, so the question is, you know, in this trial, we should be asking ourselves as citizens is who in this country should be on trial, you know, for what's going on. And you were going to talk a little bit more, Lynn, about that you wanted something about New York that you wanted to get in.
Oh, yeah.
I did want to mention there's a mayor-elect, a new mayor-elect, a Democrat in the city of New York. He's run for mayor. He's been elected, and he believes in law and order. And he is making the statements now that he's going to go back to the older system, and there's going to be law and order in Chicago, in New York. And what's happening, the response to that is Black Lives Matter are there, Johnny on the spot, and tell them you better not do that, because you do, we're going to have riots, you're going to have deaths, you're going to have fires, you're going to have thievery, you're going to have riots in the street. I'm telling you now, don't you dare go back and do that. Now, who is ruling who? Who is taking care of who? Black Lives Matter? And they get a pat on the back? Oh, they got their rights? What about the individual right? What about the individual that owns something? The individual that wants to protect something? You have no rights? This was brought up in the trial, too. It seemed as though the prosecutor was trying to say to this Kyle, the kid, well, why didn't, you know, he was coming at you, he was about 10 feet away, why didn't you shoot him then? You didn't shoot him then? Well, he got right on top of the kid and grabbed his rifle, and the kid shot him, and he said, well, why didn't you do it earlier? Well, that didn't make any sense, and it inferred in some of his questioning that Kyle should have allowed the man to kill him so he could say he was innocent.
Well, I think this is an example of, you know, the delegitimacy of government equals, you know, crime and violence. And this, what you're talking about here, this so-called threat to the new mayor, that if he enforces the law, there will be violence. In other words, if he strengthens the police force and strengthens the enforcement of the law, there will be violence. I mean, what can the mayor do? These people on one hand suggest that, you know, only if the policing is done in a certain way. But the fact is that, of course, no matter how it's done, it won't be done their way. And so unless it's done their way and by their standards, which are probably no standards, then somehow the mayor is going to be under attack. So they're threatening to escalate the violence that's already going on if the mayor does something about the violence that's already going on. It's sort of a moot threat if the mayor is being put in a position where if he doesn't act, you have violence, and if he acts, you have violence. So if I was in that position, I would go ahead and act.
You know, the ordinary person in New York City is fearful of going out. In Texas, on the ranches, has gotten to the point, the ranches along the borders, people cannot let their children go out and play on their own ranch unless an adult is with them and they carry a loaded weapon.
And this, of course, is, and that's, when these kinds of things starts happening, it's an it's an invitation to escalate violence. You'll get people acting on both sides in ways that they shouldn't be acting. There'll be people trying to defend their property, and there'll be people who will join them that will be overstepping boundaries, and there will be people, of course, on the other side that have overstepped boundaries in the first place, and you get an escalation, and then you get violence out of control. And this is what happens when you have a society in which you have leadership that fails to do its duty. In other words, people are elected to these positions, and I think they have forgotten exactly why they were elected. And the important parts of those positions are enforcing the law, keeping the peace and safety, and making it possible for people to do the necessary civil things, trade, and so forth, to enhance their ability to live and their economic power and so on. And when all of those, when those things are not enforced, that leads to a lot of the economic problems that are going on in this country today as well. And so we have the alternate. On the one hand, we have populism. I mean, Donald Trump, for example, was elected on a populist ticket. He ran on populism, on this idea of going, to the people. And again, this is sort of a broad, platform that is not exactly specific either. And then on the other side, we have the alternative left leaving the Democratic middle of the road and leaning over to radical socialism, you might want to call it, the radical left, calling for all kinds of progressive changes and so forth that are radical to this country. So you have people in both parties looking for alternatives to what's going on, because no one in this whole country is happy with the status quo. And I think a lot of this is due to the fact that for the last 25 or 30 years, our colleges and universities and all the way down into our grade schools have been producing people, students and thinkers with ideas that are just absolutely foreign to our culture and foreign to this country. They're anti-Christian, for example, and they're anti-authority, and they're, they're anti-status quo. This idea that somehow we can transform the material world, the world that we live in, into some kind of paradise, of course, which is not possible, and an idea of human nature that is so vague, with a lot of misunderstanding, and an idea that somehow experts can fine-tune things in such a way, again, that we'll have this utopia on the face of the earth. And what we have instead is simply hesitation and inconsistency and no idea of what principles to follow, and a lack of responsibility and a lack of willingness to do anything except get elected. And it's causing a lot of problems, and we'll get to as we go along. I'm going to give you in just a second, Lynn. I just want to get this in. We'll get to the role of the church, I think, because the role of the church in Christianity in this country has been watered down so much that a country forgets how much it needs a dogma, a religious dogma that governs the principles that civic society follows. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It seems to me that we are a culture of appeasement. Appeasement for peace. Appeasement to put up with anything don't disrupt the world. Just appease them. Keep them quiet, appease them, give them what they want so I can stay and do what I want. Appeasement doesn't work. It ends up in war. Look at the Second World War. The appeasement. Okay, Russia, you can have this. Okay, Germany, you can have that. We won't, do anything about it. You don't like the Jews? Oh, well, they're just talking. And we'll appease them all. We'll appease them all. What happened? You had a war. And don't think there can't be a war in this country, that the people cannot divide. It seems to me this government is trying to get people in different cubicles and divide them, anything to have their control. Just warning about appeasement. You just can't do that. You've got to have law. And then look at Arizona and the school board in Arizona. You've heard about that, haven't you? This, and I can't remember the city. It's really escaped me if it's in Phoenix or where. They've been arguing with the school board over the teaching, what they're teaching.
I think it was in Scottsdale.
In Scottsdale, what they're teaching. And they're teaching that,
Well, they were out there.
They're out there teaching. They're teaching.
They're teaching the critical race theory.
Yeah,
in
that's
the
it.
And
I was trying to look for it.
And
also the sex education, which is gone beyond.
Well, the
sex education to the point it's pornographic. But the school board, they have found just the other day, it just came out. School board, the president of the school board is elected. The school board is all elected. But they are making a list of the parents that have done, that are causing them trouble.
Well, the parents.
What's the next step?
The parents.
What's the
next
step? You're accusing these people of causing trouble. They've had the sheriff in arresting people and getting them out of the meetings. The next step, they're going to arrest them.
They have been, in effect, keeping a track and, in effect, spying on parents who have been making objections to the kind of things that are being taught to their students. And, of course, this is simply off the charts for a school board elected by the people to be spying on the very people who they're supposed to be serving, because those people are making objections to the way they think that things should be done, which is perfectly legitimate on their part.
Yeah, but then the school itself and those that aren't elected, of course, they are employees. The school administration is not elected, and they're saying, well, the school board is elected, and we can't do anything about it, the election, or control them.
Well, I think people are feeling that they don't have any say-so and don't have any power anymore, and that they have leadership that is really not leading, and who are actually following all kinds of principles that are, that most Americans simply don't believe in, and principles that go against what ordinary Americans need in order to have their lives stable and have their lives, profitable, and to live in communities in which they can get along. And so this is causing, I think, a split in the country, and it's causing polarization. And you were talking about the appeasement. On the one hand, you're right. There is a lot of appeasement of violence and so forth going on here in our own country. But on the other hand, it seems as if we have that people are sick of foreign policy, our bad foreign policy, where we have been running around and doing the policing and so forth for other countries and getting ourselves into endless wars and spending a tremendous amount of blood and treasure, and in return, absolutely accomplishing nothing.
And they throw you out. Yeah. You got your job done, get out.
And so, and now we're being asked by some people to get involved again over in Ukraine. In other words, it just seems like America is thrusting itself in various directions without any particular idea of which way it really wants to go. And we've been in this situation for a long enough time now that the people are confused. And when people get confused, things lead to aggression and they lead to violence. And my contention here is how does this fit in with the, you know, Catholicism? And the idea, again, is we have a Christianity both within our own church and within Christianity in general that has been watered down and is sort of losing a sense of direction itself because it's been so much influenced by the culture in which it finds itself, especially here in America, and but also in the rest of the world as well. And all of Western civilization seems to be in turmoil. And unless we find our footing and find our ground, it's going to be a real problem. And the point is that we're going to try to get to in the last section here is that that footing and that ground can depend a lot on the dogma of the Catholic Church that has been the foundation of Western civilization and has guided Western civilization for the last 2,000 years. And there's where the Catholicism comes in. So we're going to stop here and take a break. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston. You're listening to Being Catholic right here on Catholic Spirit Radio. We're talking about a lot of the turmoil that is going on in our country and talking about the fact that a lot of it is happening, we think here at least because of a lack of leadership and responsibility on the part of a lot of our leaders in this country, their unwillingness to do their duty and take a stand that may not be popular with some of their constituents, but nevertheless is what they've been hired to do and what they've been elected to do and not doing it. And also the fact that we seem to have lost our bearings on our culture and our principles and on those things that hold us together. And I'm talking here about what's the role of the Catholic Church, for example, in this Christianity in general. And that is that the role of the church and the role of Christianity before it was watered down was to provide a set of principles and a set of dogmas by which the civil authorities can live by. We seem as a country to have rejected that and to somehow believe that we can be a totally secular country, that we can get along without religion, that we can sort of make up a list of principles in progress out of whole cloth, and we don't seem to know anymore where we want to progress to or what progressivism is. And we have reached the point where our society seems to be anti-authoritarian on the one hand, but then demanding on the other hand that various factions making demands that their particular way of thinking and their particular way of interpreting things be followed or else. And groups of people threatening that if they don't get their way, they will invoke violence. And then other people asserting that if there's any authority, that somehow the authority by itself is violence. And so it seems as if no matter which way we turn, we'll be getting violence. And we can see it going on. We can see it going on all over our cities. We can see it right here in our country. We talked about in Chicago. And let me give an example when I'm talking here about the church being watered down and the dogmas being watered down and secular society having sort of, I shouldn't say sort of, but secular society, the modernism having broken down all of the religious principles, not only in Christianity in general, but in the Catholic Church specifically, which is, of course, a church which is tied to the traditions and dogmas as handed down by Jesus Christ to his apostles and to his and from those apostles to their successors, and which are not to be violated and are to be handed down clearly and obeyed and followed by all Catholics. And instead, here's what we have. And this is a survey that's found in the current issue of Catholic Answers. It's the November-December issue of Catholic Answers. And here's what it says. It says here, the headline, "It's not what the church teaches, it's what I think." And it says that September issue of America Magazine published the results of a survey of adult U.S. Catholics conducted by the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate at Georgetown University. They speak for themselves. Among the findings are these. Should the U.S. bishops issue a statement that Catholic politicians and public officials who support legal abortion should not present themselves for communion? At one time, that would have been a cut-and-dried answer. Would be, of course not. But right now here, very supportive of this, 27% of Catholics are very supportive of this, the idea that people who support and promote abortion shouldn't present themselves for communion. Only 27% of Catholics believes that they shouldn't. Somewhat supportive is 18%. Not supportive is 24%. Undecided, 31%. So here is over 50 or 60% of Catholics either are against being requiring politicians to, you know, follow the rules of the church, or they don't know. And then it goes on here. It says, should women 35 years of age and older be ordained as priests? Now, in the Catholic Church, it's a dogma handed down from the very beginning. I can't get into why, but there's good reasons why that women are, you know, not eligible for the priesthood. But 52% nowadays think women should be eligible for the priesthood. And only 16% think that they should not, and the rest of the people sort of don't know. And then how about women deacons? Again, to that is yes, 56%, and no is 9%. And we go on here is euthanasia or assisted suicide. Only 38% are opposed to euthanasia or assisted suicide. The death penalty, very or somewhat opposed. 32% are opposed to the death penalty. There's more people in favor of the death penalty, evidently, than in favor of other Catholic dogmas. And of course, the death penalty is not a dogma of the church. It's something that is prudential. The church has never been against the death penalty, but recently our Pope has come out and said that the death penalty is impermissible, whatever that means, and that it's against the gospel. And I find that a little bit disturbing, because if the death penalty truly is against the gospel, then has the church been teaching heresy for the last 2,000 years up until just recently? These things confuse me, and I'm sure they're confusing to other people as well. And I've never really gotten a good answer on that, even though I've tried to get an answer on it. It sort of doesn't really, it simply doesn't fit in. And it goes on and on here to many other factors as well. But the point is that it seems to be that Catholics in general feel that somehow or another the church should suspend its dogmatic teaching to incorporate whatever it is that they personally feel should be allowed or disallowed. And that certainly doesn't provide for a very stable dogma that could help stabilize a society or stabilize the law. And this is what I was trying to get at. If this is happening in the Catholic Church, you can imagine what's happening in Protestantism, in which you have so many different denominations in the first place having theological disagreements with each other. And now, of course, with the culture itself, having even more disagreements there. So we have a Christianity that is in turmoil. And remember the poem that we did one time, Lynn, by Yeats, called The Second Coming, in which he declares, you know, that the falconer can no longer see, you know, the falcon can no longer see the falconer. And that he wrote this at the turn of the 20th century, back in the early part of the 20th century. This was when, of course, people were very aware that there was a huge change going on in Christianity and that Christianity was being watered down and things were changing. And Yeats saw back then that there were, that the Western civilization was starting to drift and become lost. And I think that has, you know, happened even more in spades in the last 100 years. And that's where we're at. And he predicted that, you know, without guidance of the church and without people in agreement on what the Christian principles were that should guide our society and should guide our law, without those, it becomes very, very confusing. And in times of confusion, you get people taking sides and you get, instead of agreement, you get disagreement. And with disagreement, you get violence and you get leadership that goes along with this and seems to be unable to act and know how to act. And that was what the whole poem of Yeats was, you know, The Second Coming was about. And he was asking the question in that poem, what new thing is moving toward Bethlehem to be born? In other words, if we lose Christianity, just exactly what is it going to take its place? And his suggestion was, is it was some kind of monster that was slouching toward Bethlehem waiting to be born. Is that monster, you know, the thing that we're seeing in our society today with all of the violence and everything else that is going on, and the sort of a satanic thing that is taking the place of Christianity, and this is why our culture is dying. And if it goes on like this, how long can Western civilization exist if the foundation that it actually was built on goes out of existence? So those are some of the things.
That's a good poem. I can't remember the name of it. Slouching Towards Bethlehem?
No. The name of it was The Second Coming.
Okay.
But in there, there's a line that says, what new monster is slouching toward Bethlehem waiting to be born? You know,
the words he used, you get the real feeling of it, too. It was a good poem.
Right. And it gives the feeling that there's, you know, he was talking about there's this suspense, there's this, you know, this disturbance in society, this unsureness, unsteadiness, because we were losing the base that we were built on. And so, you know, what's going to take its place? And is it going to be some monster? And it seems to me, you know, he was asking this 100 years ago, and it seems to me that we are starting to see the results. You know, there's always this lag, this cultural lag, so you can have people in the forefront seeing that something is changing before the whole society actually starts to change. But it takes a while for that change to filter down through all of society. And the question I'm asking today is that, are we seeing exactly what Yeats was predicting, that we're losing the foundation we were built on? And this is where the Catholic Church comes in when we're talking about all of the things. It's one, it's the Catholic faith and its dogmas are something that can provide a base for our society and its laws to follow. But if we can't have any agreement on it in the church itself, then that makes things even worse. We should, as a church right now, be bold and be traditional and orthodox and be talking about what we have to offer society. And we need it more than ever. And we should be calling our own authorities to stand firm in the faith. And then we will have the credibility to be calling the church, to be calling the civil authorities, the secular authorities, to stand firm and do their duty, which they're not doing. And to stop this idea that politics and elections come first, because they don't. when you're elected and you have a job to do as a mayor or a job to do as a governor or a job to do as a congressman or a job to do as a president or anything else. The main job you have is to protect the safety of the citizens of your country. And that's what you're elected for, to protect against foreign aggression, to protect against domestic aggression, and to act and enforce the laws, and to have a principled liberty based on principles that they go beyond simply the immediate and the secular. And that you have to do this, even if it's not the popular thing to do at the time, because if you don't, you're going to have the things that are going on, like what we had up in Wisconsin and with this Rittenhouse trial, when you have people trying to be their own law and vigilantes while the rest of the law stands by. And so that's how important it is to have the church.
And you have to have honesty. Got to tell the truth. Have to have honesty. Especially in our press.
That is a good point.
You're not going to have a good society without these fragments on the that form the society, which the press helps to do if they are not honest, and they have not been honest. And it's causing division in the whole country and in the church.
And you have to have people willing to take a stand and know what their stand is. I mean, this is one of the things that's very important. Like you say, the press, the regular press is not doing its job. The regular press is taking sides along political lines, along secular lines, along what they call progressive lines, without really knowing what kind of principles they stand on or where they're going, when their duty and their job is to report accurately what is going on. They are to be, news people, and they are not to be participants in some kind of a political game. And that's what also is going on. And all of this is being driven. I mean, we are in, and I'd like to get to this if I could a little bit. This is not some kind of we have these charges that this is Marxism. I think Mark Levin has out his book American Marxism, and there's a lot of other charges. But that's not what's really going on. And here is we have a class situation that's going on in this country, really, because a lot of this is being driven by people who are by moneyed people, by people who are in power. Big tech, big pharma, big corporations, and so forth are actually benefiting and profiting from what's going on right now, and profiting, I think, from a lot of our foreign wars, and profiting from some of their relationships with China, for example, and profiting from the fact that people are coming into this country and as new consumers and as labor, and profiting from the confusion that is going on in the country. And they don't want the status quo to be disturbed. And so they spend money trying to keep the status quo as is because of the profits they're making by outsourcing and by doing things in China or other countries. And so when you have people in power that are not controlled by the people themselves following principles, and their elected officials are simply following the money, this is what you get. And so there has to be some kind of a resolution to this, or like you said, Lynn, what has happened in other countries can happen here. You can have, when people are fed up with enough of the chaos that is going on both sides, you can have the radical left, and you can also get what somebody might call the radical right. You can just get people who are basically fed up, and they will turn to some kind of stability and enforcement, like the people in France turned to Napoleon after the French Revolution, and like the people in Germany turned to Hitler, after the monetary system and democracy collapsed in Germany, and you can have the same thing happen here. So it's a very, very important for the church to provide the stability that it should be providing, and it should be taking the first steps to secure the faith, to be Orthodox, and to start calling for a tighter belief in more traditional Catholicism, in my opinion. At any rate, we're going to stop here, maybe we can talk a little bit more about some of these things next week. So in the meantime, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness, the snares, and the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander through the world for the ruin of souls. Amen.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. If you'd like to contact Bob, email bob@catholicspiritradio.com. Again, that's bob@catholicspiritradio.com. Catholic Spirit Radio relies on your support to bring programming like this and EWTN to Central Illinois 24 hours a day. Please help keep Catholic Spirit Radio on the air with your generous support. Donate online at catholicspiritradio.com or send a donation to Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. That's Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. Catholic Spirit Radio is a 501c3, and all donations are tax deductible. Thank you for your support of Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.